We're into the Christmas season. I could take a look at all sorts of holiday messages, and there's a message from the heart of God that's crucial for us to understand. The greatest gift of all. For God, say it with me, so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. High five one another and say, you know, that's great news. Go ahead, high five. I can see you do it. You can. Have you ever desired in your life to really be sensitive to the Spirit of God? To be Spirit-led? How many in this room really want to be Spirit-led? Lord, show me, speak to me. Show me what you're saying to me. How do I follow you? How do I hear from you? One of the most important examples of this is right there in the Christmas story. And his name is Joseph. Joseph, indeed, as we look this morning at the Scriptures, was a Spirit-led believer. Say, Spirit-led believer. Before we get there, let me tell you a little story, true story. A small village named Caracalla at the foot of Mount Ararat, the mountain where Noah's Ark landed, was in a part of Turkey where the Armenian people lived. True story. The year was 1853. There was a little boy named Efim. He was a Russian. He'd never gone to school. He could not read. He could not write. And his family was part of the Pentecostal churches of Russia. But the Armenians were mostly Presbyterian and Orthodox, so he had an unusual, alive faith comparatively. And Efim's family had emigrated to Armenia before 1853. But while he was still a child, he spent a lot of time in prayer. Sometimes praying whole days and nights, and sometimes fasting and praying for nonstop several days at a time. In 1853, when this little boy, true story, was 11 years old, the Lord called Efim to another prayer vigil. This time it lasted 7 days, around the clock. By this time, he had some astonishing visions and revelations. He saw a message written in the Russian language, but he was uneducated. He was unable to read it. So he saw some charts and he saw some maps in the vision. And he promptly asked for paper and a pen or a pencil, whatever he could get as a writing instrument. He couldn't read the message, but he could copy it. So copy it he did, painstakingly. He took time to reproduce what he had seen in his vision. The charts, the maps, the things that turned out to be letters, everything he saw, he reproduced. At the end of 7 days, when he had finished copying the message and the maps, he took it to some people who could read Russian, who, when they read it, took the message to the Armenian people. The message was this: there's coming a time when all of the Armenians, along with their Russian neighbors, would have to flee to another country where they would be slaughtered and killed. An 11-year-old boy. After several decades, though, it didn't happen. There was no slaughter yet in the community. Many eventually doubted that it was even true. Genuine. A few people believed it, but they were convinced that the time just hadn't come and wouldn't come. And they ridiculed Efim, saying anyone who doesn't eat and sleep that long is going to see things. But they couldn't understand how an uneducated boy could see a message in the Russian language that he didn't know how to read or write. Some literally accused him of fraud, trying to fool the entire community. But the maps showed real places they were to flee to. Studying the maps, the more educated people realized that the place they were to flee to was clearly America. And it wasn't the East Coast. The message was they weren't to stop on the East Coast. They were to go all the way out to the West Coast of California. Persecution. then began to arose against the Armenians. In 1896, he was then 54 years old, from 11 to 54. You see, we get impatient, but 1,000 years is as a minute with the Lord, right? Or is a day with the Lord. And so news arrived that 6,000 Armenians had been slaughtered in Istanbul, formerly Constantinople. But Istanbul was hundreds of miles away, and still the believers in Caracalla didn't believe. They didn't believe that the time had come yet for its village to flee. And after all, it was a long way away where they were supposed to go. And finally, 1901 and 1902, Efim, now 60 years old, told the people of his village that the time has come. It's here. It's time to go. He knew the prompting of the Lord in his spirit. He had been faithful all this time and held on to the vision. When they heard of reports over the years and through the years of what had begun to happen, they would pull out some people their yellowed copy of what they had had from many years earlier and reread it. But now he's saying it's time to flee. The slaughter literally came in 1914. The year that the First World War started, he was now over 70 years old, there were about 1.5 million Armenians slaughtered by the Muslim Turks. To this day, they will deny that it ever took place. And in their history books, there's no mention of this. But Hitler himself said these words about the slaughter. The world did not intervene when Turkey wiped out the Armenians. It will not intervene now when I attack the Jews. As each group of Pentecostals left Armenia, they literally were jeered by those who remained behind, skeptical, disbelieving, including many Christians who refused to believe that God would issue pinpoint instructions through a little boy in the modern age to a modern people. When the slaughter came, the few Armenians who managed to then escape by hearing and obeying the word of the Lord brought with them great heroes' stories. They reported the Turks sometimes gave Christians the option of denying their faith by rounding them up, putting them in a barn, and if they did not renounce Jesus, they would set the barn on fire, and multitudes died because of it. Among them that landed in California was a family named, anybody remember? Shakarian. Demas Shakarian. And his family ended up with the largest dairy farm in the United States. And he became the head of what's become known as Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship. All around the world. And it's still going strong. In fact, his son carried on the ministry, who just died November 1st this year. And it's carrying on. It's a real story of a little boy who took time to wait on God and listen to what God had told him. Are we taking time to wait on God and listen to what He's saying? Do we trust that the word we hear, that God will lead us by His Spirit? As we come into the Christmas season, I want to take a strong look at this guy, Joseph, who was a Spirit-led believer. Somebody say amen. Amen. I want to be a Spirit-led believer. Matthew 1, verse 18, as we go into the Scriptures. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After His mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Look, it was shocking. It was abhorrent to that culture in that day. She was pregnant out of wedlock. She could have been taken out, and she could have been stoned. She was betrothed to Joseph, and in that day, that was the same thing in their culture as being married. And this isn't Joseph's child. Now, just imagine, he's a noble man, a young man, or whatever age he was. He was a righteous man. He was caring. He was concerned. But this wasn't his child. Think of it. The hurt, the sense of utter betrayal that would have happened, the anguish in his heart. But Joseph was caring, just, and righteous, the Bible tells us. You know what love means? Love means you take the hit. Love means he was willing to take the hit. Matthew 1 verse 19 tells us, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. He wasn't going to flaunt this before the community. It wasn't only shameful for him. He knew what it would mean for Mary, and he was going to put her away privately. He's determined to divorce, literally is what it means, divorce, dismiss her, but he still loves her and wants to protect her from the ridicule. The Greek literally means he did not want to expose her to infamy. That's what the Greek means. He didn't want to expose her to infamy. James 2, verse 13. Watch the scripture. This is so important. If we want to be spirit-led believers, watch the attitude the Lord wants us to lead with. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. But please speak this phrase with me. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Please, one more time together. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Jesus took the hit for you and me. How many are glad, huh? Jesus took that hit. He came, he died, he was buried, he rose again. He took your sins and mine when you surrender your life to him. So he took the hit for us. This is real. And I want you to know God forges spirit-led men and women and writes his word on your heart and mind by taking you through real life. Tough stuff teaches so much. Shall we write a song about that one? There's a promise verse. Take it out of your box. I'm excited. What's God got for me today? Tough stuff teaches you so much. Oh, boy. But it's true. Be moldable. Be clay in God's hands. Remember the Bible says he's the potter, we're the clay? He can make of us and fashion us. It's not always easy. But if we want to be spirit-led, if we want to be the kinds of sons and daughters that he wants us to be, we say, okay, Lord, no matter what you've brought my way, help me to respond and be responsive. Jesus, make me what you want me to be. Come on, say that with me. Would you, Jesus, make me what you want me to be? I want to be what you want. Lord, I want to talk like you, think like you, walk like you, act like you. I want to keep growing. I came here this morning not to have a casual hour together, but to have a life transforming time in Jesus Christ. You can go to church for information. You can go to church for inspiration. You can go to church to be informed. You can have all of that, but it's not enough until we are transformed into the image of Jesus. To be transformed, to be like him. I choose you, Lord. Even when the tough stuff comes, I'll take the hit. By your grace, be merciful, and I'll learn to be merciful. Joseph had a righteous reaction, but he exercises mercy that triumphs over judgment. His heart, a spirit-led believer, is the heart of God. How many are glad in this room? I really want to know. I want to see a show of hands, maybe two, maybe your feet should go up in the air. How many are glad for God's mercy toward you? Man, you guys, we're lost without him. And Joseph, through what he's learning. This is a real man who went through real things. Hey, how many know nobody had walked this road before? Your wife's going to have the Son of God. Uh-huh. Pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Right. It's powerful. And Lord, he said, I want what you want. I'll take the hit. God works with his spirit-led men and women through tough times. If you're going through a tough time right now, anybody in this room? Hang on. Let him transform you. He knows how it will end. He's got a great end for you. He's got better things for you. We talked about it this morning. Jesus has better things for you than you can even think or imagine. Come on, someone say amen. He's got better things in mind than you know. God loves you. He cares. He sees you. He sees you, Jeannie, when you're laying on a hospital bed and you're going, I hate this, but I love you. So why don't you love me? And he says, I do. He knows. When your family is distant and doesn't care in the way you think they should. When your spouse looks at you and goes, yeah, I know I'm supposed to love you. Oh, come on, you're all looking too holy. when things don't go right and you get up and your computer won't work, and so you try your other one and it won't work, and you try your phone and your phone is not smart that day. And you want to throw it into the Admiralty Inlet. God knows. He knows. Don't just pray to get out of your circumstances. Let Him work with you in those circumstances. Don't go under them. I'm fine under the circumstance. Well, what are you doing under there? Get out from under them. But walk with Him through them. He's going to make you, more than ever before, a Spirit-led man or woman of God. He knows right where He's got you. With Joseph again, He makes him a man of character. He makes him just and merciful. How many believe Joseph probably wished this circumstance wasn't his lot in life? You know, I mean, my gracious, no one again. He yielded to God. Said, okay. I want you first and foremost, Lord, no matter what. Even when I don't get it. If you want me to take that hit, thank God you took the big hit. But I'll walk with you. Matthew 1, verses 20 through 25. Watch the scripture. But he thought about these things. Listen to the Spirit-filled, Spirit-led believer. While he thought about these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son. You'll call his name Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Translated, say it with me, God with us. So the Lord spoke to him. The Lord showed up. God appeared to him, comes to him, tells him, talks to him. And now Joseph has a choice. What is it? We see it. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Man, took the hit. Number two, Joseph obeys. Joseph obeys. His character is forged in real life. This is real stuff. He's obedient even when it's not comfortable. You know, character is what you do when people aren't watching, right? And obedience, true obedience, is what happens when no one's looking on. When only you and Jesus are walking that road, and you may have others who love you, but they can't be with you every single moment, but you still obey Jesus even when it's not easy. We either harden or we soften before the Lord. If we want to be a Spirit-led believer, let Him work in your character. Joseph obeys even when it's hard. And so, because he did, God put him right where he belonged. God put him right where he belonged. I said, God put him right where he belonged. How many know Jesus sees you? And He knows how to get you and me right where we belong. Luke 2, 1 through 7. Came to pass in those days that the decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. What a pain! Can you imagine this? All the world. Who does this king think he is? King. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city, which is how it had to happen. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called, what? Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife who was with child. So it was while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there wasn't any room for them in the inn. Joseph obeys God. And God leads Joseph and his family right where they need to be and fulfill Scripture. Joseph chooses to obey God, goes right where God wants him. Are you going through anything hard? Come on, anybody in this room going through any difficult times? Anybody? Come on. You bet. But Jesus has his hands on you. He sees you. He knows you. If you'll obey him, he'll get you right where he wants you and right where you need to be. By the way, just a little understanding of the scripture here. These words have been challenged over the years as to their accuracy. Is the Bible accurate? That Caesar Augustus, come on, ordered a census to be taken of the inhabited earth. Scholars denied that was true until finally there was a man named W.M. Ramsay who found an inscription on a temple wall in Ankara in Turkey of Augustus's words ordering a worldwide census. They also discovered that Quirinius, and this is where it also breaks down. Some people say, well, he wasn't governor at this same time, but they discovered that he was governor of Syria at the time of the census. Scholars denied that until he found stones that confirmed this man was governor twice of Syria. First being the military governor from 8 to 4 BC, and the second time the civil governor from 6 to 11 AD. And then they discounted that all were to be enrolled each in his own city. Scholars denied that until they found an Egyptian papyrus verifying the return home law that was required. And all of a sudden, one more time, the Bible is confirmed as accurate and true. Thank God, you have a Bible to read, to devour, and love and enjoy that is true. God is good. And all the time. Joseph obeys God's word, Luke 2, 21 through 24. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called what? Jesus. Just like he was instructed. The name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now, when the days of her purification, by the way, they didn't have any advanced way to tell that that was a boy or a girl in the womb. He just had to take this by faith, right? And his name will be Jesus. Now, when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it's written in the law of the Lord. Every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Verse 24, to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And this was the offering of the poor if they couldn't afford a lamb. Joseph obeys God. Now watch. Joseph obeys God, takes his family, Mary and Jesus, to the temple right where they needed to be, at exactly the right time, where an elderly woman named Anna and an elderly man named Simeon had been praying and waiting on the Lord right when the baby comes in, so they could prophesy the word of the Lord over him. Isn't it a coincidence that God knew how to get his people right there on that day? Amen. If he'd waited the next day, they might have been out to McDonald's. Oh, okay. All right, that one didn't fly so well. But they might have been out somewhere else. But God knows your life and mine. He knows the divine intersection of your life and mine. If you are yielded and surrendered and you say, God, I want to do what you want me to do. I want to go where you want me to do. Lead me. And you follow that prompting, that leading, that guidance that the Spirit of God wants to give you. He knows how to get you there. Come on, turn to each other and say, he knows how to get you there. Even when it's tough, obey Jesus no matter what. He'll do so much in you and through you. Want a fresh word from God? Be Spirit-led. You want to obey what he's showing you? Find it in the Word of God. Nothing. By the way, listen carefully to me now. God is not going to lead you contrary to this word. I will say this again. God is not going to lead you contrary to this word. You don't need a voice when you got a verse. There have been any number of people whose life bears no fruit at all. They treat people with wickedness, but run around saying, God led me. And I would tell you that ain't worth the powder to blow it up. You hear what I'm saying? God will lead you according to His word. If you hear a voice saying you're to be the prophet and apostle of all the ages, it might be pride instead of the word of God. Three people heard that. Okay, on we go. No, it's really important. There's a filter through which we need to hear and learn and listen. And sometimes every one of us have heard the wrong voice. So is it in the word? Are you in the word? All right, Joseph is alive in the spirit. Joseph is alive in the spirit. He listens to the voice of God. He obeys the voice of God. He listens to the promptings. He knows his voice. He's been saturated with the presence of God. In that day, they understood and memorized the entire first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. It was in their heart. The word of God that they knew and understood was in them. And it's if you're going to listen and be spirit-led, the word of God has to be in you richly and deeply and powerfully and profoundly. And you need to read the word and devour the word and love the word, and then God draws from the word by his Holy Spirit to quicken your heart. Matthew 2:13-15. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord. He's getting angels talking to him all the time. Did you ever notice that? An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt. Stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. This guy heard the word of God, and he did the word of God. He heard it, he did it. He heard it, he did it, and he protected his family because of it. Just like an 11-year-old boy who heard the word of God and proclaimed it to his people, many of whom were saved, many of whom weren't, because they didn't hear it. Matthew 2:19-23. But when Herod was dead, here's another one. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. What does it say? And he just went back to sleep, rolled over on his bed and say, in a couple of weeks. Then he arose, took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Now, don't you think it would have been a little easier if God had said, look, here's the map, here's the timetable, here's the dates, here's what I want you to do. Here's where I want you to go. And I'll get you. And you go to Bethlehem. And it'll obey thousands of years of prophetic history. It'll all be fulfilled. You just get yourself. Wouldn't that have been easier, you think? How many know that ain't what happened? But he followed the prompting of the Lord, the leading of the Lord, and ended up right where he needed to be. And he protected his family because he obeyed God. Led of the Spirit. He's led of the Spirit. He listens and he obeys God. We don't read that he's shocked. We just read that he obeyed. How do you listen to the voice of God? How do you do it? I'm going to give you four simple steps, very simple, and we'll come to a close tomorrow. Number one, read and devour the word of God and hide it in your heart. Read and devour the word of God and hide it in your heart. One of the most essential things that Pastor Sherry does every week for us is to take a scripture that pops out our daily Bible reading typically, unless it's something like Psalm 129 that doesn't preach. And then, but she takes the Word of God and brings life to us to inspire us and worship it. Usually does study in a few minutes. She gets commentaries and background and languages. Pastor Sherry, I want to just thank you for what you do for us every week. but she's studying the Word and brings the Word alive. And we read the Bible. You have Through the Bible in a Year reading programs, and we're going to do it again this year. We're going to start afresh. And if you haven't done it before with us, we invite you to come on and read the Word of God. Then we get together at Grace Gatherings, which are going to switch to 1 o'clock, so you can all come in the daylight and share the good news of what Jesus says to you through the Word of God. It's rich and it's alive. Read and devour the Word of God and hide it in your heart. Number two, get rid of any known sin. I know we walk by grace, but the reality is 2 + 2 = 4. If you're walking contrary to the Word of God, don't trust the voice you're hearing. It could be God. It might not be God. If you want to really make sure it's God, line up with God. Come on. Isn't that right? Line up with God. Be right with God. Get rid of any known sin. Number three, commit that you'll obey His promptings, His leading. Commit. Lord, I commit myself to You. Whatever You say, whatever You show me, I'm going to do it by Your grace. Number four, listen, hear, and obey. You know, there's a difference between hearing something and really listening, or listening and really hearing and then obeying. The little boy prophesied the word of the Lord that God had given. Some people heard it or listened, but didn't really hear it. And it's how we can do as well. And then follow His prompts, even in the small stuff. Small obedience leads you to bigger obedience. Small things will lead to bigger things. First, there's a response, and then God can trust you by giving you more and more, and pretty soon we're engaged in a more deep Spirit-led life. That's what Joseph did. How did it translate into real life? He literally kept his family alive. This precious Spirit-led man of God protected his family, provided for his family, led his family exactly as God wanted him to. And he got them to the right place at just the right time to be blessed and hear the Word of God. Men of God, don't bag out on church. Take your family and go to church together. Women of God, rise up. Look at the man. If he's saying, I want to hang around in bed this morning, look at him and say, let's go to the house of the Lord. And I'll say, okay, honey, I'm the pastor. I have to. I know. God's leading won't be contrary to His Word. If it's contrary to God, it won't bear lasting fruit. If the fruit is awful, then you're eating from the wrong tree. I had a home I owned, had 5 fruit trees. I thought, that's cool. I'm not a pie baker, I'm a pie eater, but that's cool. Worst fruit I've ever tasted came off those trees. Worst. I felt like I should be Jesus. Be cursed! Now they are, most all of them, cut down, by the way. But it was terrible. I was not going to eat of the fruit of that tree because it wouldn't have been any good. Lord, help us. You hear what I'm saying. Lord, help us eat the right fruit from the tree. Now, can I give you one final point? So you'll understand, Joseph is a lot like us. Do you realize that from the time of Jesus being 12 years old in the temple, where they found him, remember? Left him behind on a journey. He was hanging out with the other people in the temple, and they left without him. Can you imagine? How'd you feel if you lost the Son of God? You got him? I don't got him. Where's the Son of God? But from the time on where he said, I must be about my Father's business, do you understand? We don't have another mention of Joseph. But this powerful, precious, Spirit-led man of God gave the first years of instructions to Jesus' life and showed him how to be a carpenter, how to be a disciplined man, and all of those things. Now, we don't read of a sinning little Jesus running around, but God carefully chose who he had be dad to Jesus, the Son of God. And do you understand that out of the Bible, we don't have one spoken word written from Joseph? What we have is a story of the actions of a surrendered, Spirit-led believer, a surrendered man of God. The Bible says, he must increase, but I must decrease. And Joseph's issue wasn't, I want to go down in history as the one who was stepdad to Jesus. I want my words recorded. No, what he wanted was his actions to be the declaration that Jesus is first and the one we want to protect and raise. And this family is dedicated to walking with God. He wanted recorded, I'm a Spirit-led believer. Stand with me, would you please? If we'll listen, hear, and obey, like Joseph, we'll be Spirit-led believers. Is that what you want, church?
Yes.
Amen. But if you're here this morning and the Lord has spoken anything to your heart, if there's any growth room left in your life, then you could qualify along with me to raise your hands to the Lord with me as we pray. Lord, together we come to you and we surrender to you. We pray, Lord, that you will guide us and you will lead us and that you will help us grow ever more in being Spirit-led men and women. Bless each one in this room, Lord, with that continued ongoing precious relationship with you. That's why they're here. That's why we're all here, because we want to grow. We want to go and keep going and grow and keep growing. And we want to be, Lord, everything that you want us to be. So, Lord, we thank you for this time we've had together this day. And into your hands, we commit our lives to be better Spirit-led believers than ever before. And they all said,
amen.
We stand in awe. We bless your name because you are worthy, Lord. As we leave this place today, we leave so with joy, knowing that Jesus, you are our Lord. You've cleansed us and made us new. We go on and out of this place to hear you, to respond to you, to be better Spirit-led men and women than ever before. Thank you, Jesus, for leading the way. Would you raise your hands for the blessing, please? For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And again, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. And they all said,
amen.
Be released. Have a fantastic day in the Lord.